Welcome to WiseMag podcast launched by Law Strategic Advisors and Business Strategy e-Magazine. Today's guest is Jack Yuan, a young entrepreneur from California, United States. Jack, when we start today's podcast, I would request my audience to kindly subscribe our channel, Law Strategy, whose link is given. Guest Jack, whom I will introduce to my audience. First, let me welcome you, Jack. We are very happy to have you on this podcast as a young entrepreneur. That's quite an achievement.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Minita. It's great to be here as well. It's a pleasure to meet you.
If I tell my audience that Jack is a 20-year-old Stanford College student who turned global medical supply chain tycoon's company, Dynamchi Medical, and has supplied over 600 million PPE products worldwide. Recorded a stunning $100 million in revenues during first year of operations. The company was launched in early 2020. He is definitely a mogul in the making. So Jack, first question with you would be, tell me a little about your background and how it led to the idea to launch Dynamchi Medical and build a PPE supply chain when it was most required in the world during COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Doctor. That's a great question. So when I was at Stanford, I have already been in the United States for 4-5 years. 4 years of high school, as well as my first year at Stanford. I haven't been back to spend Chinese New Year's with my grandparents in those 5 years. So in early 2020, when COVID was at its peak in China, I still went back to celebrate Chinese New Year. And that's when I saw the devastating effects of COVID. I was from Guangzhou, a southern city in China, and I was back for 3 days. I've never seen the streets empty, and I've never seen my city so desolated. Everybody's isolated at home and nobody's coming out. Three days later, I returned to Stanford. I guess fast forward a month, it was March 2020, and Stanford was also the second university in the US to send everybody back home. I went back to New York City to realize that I was the only one who was on the streets who were wearing masks. And at that time, people were looking at me like I was the weirdo. Nobody was wearing masks, and just seeing how the disease was, the pandemic was spreading throughout China despite government lockdowns, and throughout Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and Italy especially. And also comparing the international flight rates between New York, Europe, and Hong Kong, China, across the world, it was a pretty easy conclusion to reach that COVID was going to be the United States, and in other countries as well. So I went back to China and started out the supply chain, and one of our first deals was with the Brazilian government, who wanted to purchase 240 million masks, but couldn't find any good supplier. We went up and went for the bid, and then we're able to complete the supply and deliver all the masks, 240 million of them, to them in time. Yeah, and that's how everything got started.
And that's how your company started.
Yes, that was correct.
And so what marketing and operation strategies are you adopting, particularly those helping you to be cost conscious and cost effective? If you can shed light on
that. Yeah, absolutely. I guess we're very different from a lot of 2C, like consumer facing companies. We're actually more government and business facing. So in the beginning, it was very few people who were scouring sort of like all the different government websites and asking around, looking for deals, and I was in China responsible for building up about an entire supply chain. So it started out with just me and a Stanford roommate, but then eventually I started hiring people to take care of the quality control in Guangzhou. He started hiring people to do the sales, as the marketing. And before this, we also had really zero knowledge of how the supply chain works. But afterwards, just by sort of building up sort of our, just demonstrating our past records with big governments also led to new deals, in the future. And that's sort of how we got a foothold in Brazil and in New York. So right now our team is around 30-ish in Guangzhou office, around like 15, 20 people in Brazil. And there's also another 15, 20 in our New York office.
And what were your challenges? Oh, there must be some challenges while you were preparing masks and sending them over, finding customers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There was a ton, to be honest. If you remember March 2020, like every single country in the world was asking for masks, and everybody came to China. And at the same time, a lot of new factories were sprouting up, and there was a lot of like very bad people who were selling fake masks or bad masks or just scamming people in the middle. I've almost got scammed once, and it was very difficult to figure out who were the sort of right people to trust to do the deals with. And honestly, that because a lot of these, the scammers that were in the middle, a lot of the goods were eventually delivered later than actually expected. So I guess it was my first time doing business, finding the right people to trust was one of the biggest challenges. Yeah.
And can you share a story when you have been customer obsessed?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we can go to the 240 million mask deal. So the government request came out late March, but at that time, there was no other supplier that could deliver that quantity of masks within 30 days of the signature of the contract. In order to really satisfy, make sure that the deal happens, I on my side really had to travel all around China. I think I, talked to no fewer than 200 different factories and more than 20 different fried companies to figure out what is the sort of the lowest cost, but also the highest quality mask to deliver to the Brazilian hospitals and, frontline healthcare workers. And, there's very little sleep, a lot of phone calls. You wake up at, 7 or 8 in the morning. You would like, get on phone calls with the Brazil team, take a quick nap, and then spend the afternoon traveling around China looking for masks, and then take a quick nap between dinner, and then get on our calls with Brazil again. That was, yeah, I'll never forget those 2 months where we there was very little sleep, but we're trying to do whatever it took to make to deliver the mask and make our customers happy. Yeah.
That is interesting to know. So, Jack, I would also like to ask you, what is your future plan after having already established a $200 million company?
Yeah, for sure. That's a very interesting question, and one that I've been thinking about for a while now. I think our strategy is to definitely stay within the medical equipment space, given our existing foothold. We have, secured contracts with private hospitals in the US and in Brazil for half a year and a year long, and we're going to focus mostly on maintaining our existing relationships and increasing our product from just masks and like gowns to also other sort of types of trade medical equipment like ventilators, maybe some other types of cancer medicine that we can look into. But our biggest advantage of our team mainly comes with our local sales team who understands the ins and outs of government sales, and we're going to continue to utilize that in the future as well.
It's a great plan. So, would you like to share something else with our audience which we have not covered in this talk?
Yeah, for sure. Let me think.
So, how would you inspire, youth who follow their dream of startups?
Sure. Actually, I think coming from a very techie, like everybody around me when I was back at Stanford were either doing technology, right? They're going either going to Facebook, Google, Tesla, or they're going to finance, Goldman Sachs, Wall Street. But this last year really allowed me to delve into like the traditional supply chain business and understand what it meant for China to be the world factory. It was like there's the tech and finance world bubble, and there's also like the traditional industries bubble. And I'm very lucky to see both of them at the same time. And most my parents, when they saw me contemplating of jumping in this the to deliver masks during the pandemic, their first response was no. You're a Stanford student, you should focus on building the
Studies.
next generation technology, or you should go into finance. This is not something that you should do. But I honestly thought it was a life once in a lifetime opportunity. It was a chance to prove myself and do something great for other people as well. So I just did it despite what other people's were hesitant. And I think if I had contemplated more of the opportunity instead of just going ahead and taking actions, the opportunities would have already passed by. So I think my I guess lessons that I learned from my mistakes over the last year and also what I've done is that when you have something that you really want to do, but you're hesitant or your parents or friends are telling you don't go for it, honestly just do it out for a few months, just try it out and see what happened, and it may take you on to a completely different adventure than what you would have imagined a year ago. Yeah, so just do it, I guess.
Is definitely taking the risk and going ahead with your dream and believing your capability. You have definitely an inspiration story for others to follow. Thank you so much, Jack, for being with us.
Course.
This would be a memorable episode for us to talk to such a young entrepreneur who is so full of energy, thoughts at such a young age. At 20, normally youngsters are more about partying, meeting friends, still thinking about what they want to do. And you have achieved so much. All the best wishes from us.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. It was a pleasure being here. Take care.